You're listening to the Monday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with Michael Small. Linda Lagarde Grover is a professor of American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and she's a member of the Boys Fort Band. She's with us today to talk about her latest novel that is out from the University of Minnesota Press. It's called In the Night of Memory. Linda, thanks for being here today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So it seems to me that this title that you've chosen says a lot about this story. Can you tell us a little bit about what it means to you, why you chose In the Night of Memory?
The title connects to a broad concept, I think, but more specifically to within this book. The book is about a missing Native American woman and the effects on her absence on her children and her family and her extended community and reservation. And in the book specifically, there's a nighttime memory that her children have of her, a memory that is lovely and precious to them. But against the backdrop of the circumstances, the mysterious circumstances of their mother's absence, it's also very, very very sad. So they hang on to this memory, like other communities do, of missing Native women.
Can you tell us a little bit about, let's talk about her daughters, Rain Dawn and Azure Sky. They're very young when their mother goes missing and leaves them with social services. What happens to them? Because that's also another issue that was really compelling to this story, of how they get a little bit stuck in their lives as well because of what's happened with their mom.
Yes, they end up in the foster system, and so over a period of time when they're pretty young, they get sometimes moved from one placement to another. They're separated for a while, and then they are reunited after a while and continue to go in the foster system. Another part of the story is the story of the community too, and their relatives, and how the girls are like their mom, just kind of missing. Nobody knows where they are until somebody decides to do some searching and to find them, and to the Indian Child Welfare Act is invoked in order to get them returned to their extended family.
When you describe family in this book, it's very different than what I'm used to in terms of a mom and dad and two kids. Tell us about family.
In many Native communities, or at least the ones I know, and, you know, certainly we don't have a corner on this or anything, but a family is, you know, certainly people know who their parents and brothers and sisters are, you know, but the extended family is really an important part of the life. And so there are relatives like cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents, but also people who are considered relatives by, not by blood, but by connection and experience and love too. And so in this book, I tried to bring that feeling into this book of the family. You know, it's not that everybody considers these young girls their own daughters, but they do consider them to be family and to have the privilege of being part of the family, the privileges and obligations as Anishinaabe, as Ojibwe people, and with the non-Native people too being included as part of the extended family.
We're talking with Linda Lagarde Grover. She's going to be at the Brainerd Public Library today for the Brown Bag Lunch Series that is at noon, and it's free and open to the public. It seems to me like you couldn't tell the story of Ray Dawn and Azure Sky without talking about the generation before them and even farther back, that it's not just their story, it's connected.
Yes, this story, the narrative is told by several people in this book, and they're all women, so it's, you know, it's kind of a women's recounting of history and what's happened. A lot of it is in Azure Sky's voice, but some of it is in older women's voices too. And there's a very old woman in this story who's actually been in one of my other books, who says that it's very important to know what the past is, because the past is what has created the present, and so to know and to try to understand gives us an understanding of the circumstances that sometimes lead to really difficult things happening today, like with Loretta, the girl's mother, with her disappearance. As she says, there's more to the disappearance than just that story, and there's more to Loretta than only her story, that it's a story of all the people around her, and not just the people, but the historical circumstances in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and most really important federal Indian policies during those times.
Can you tell us about the place you said it? It's a fictional reservation, but certainly seems very real too. But this isn't the first time you've written about this place either.
No, it's Moje Point is a fictional place, and it's in northern Minnesota, sort of northeastern. It's much like Boys Fort's reservation lands. It's much like Grand Portage. It's much like Fond du Lac, and I made the reservation a fictional place for just because there are so many mystically beautiful things about all reservation lands that I've been on, and I wanted to make it more universal. But there are real places in here too, like Duluth. But there's also a fictional town on the range called Mesabi, because I wanted to give a little bit of a flavor of the range too, and not just confine it to one city or one place.
This reservation has sort of an interesting history. As we learn about it, it also connects to the girls that we are learning about as we read this novel, about the reservation system. They're kind of not under the same system as we may assume.
Well, the tribal governments are their own. You know, the Indian nations are sovereign bodies, mm-hmm. and so the tribal governments there then do a government-to-government relationship with the what you'd call majority culture governments too. So they must work either together or sometimes side by side, sometimes at loggerheads with each other. But yeah, all reservations that I know of have their own governments with elected people and their own laws too.
What do you hope that readers get from it? What are you hearing from people, and what's your hope?
There is more attention on the terrible situation of missing and murdered Native women in this country today, and you know, and up here and into Canada, and we're hearing more about that today. And I started this book quite some time ago, and I was really glad that it seemed to be pulling itself together during a time when there is attention being paid to this. And not just, I mean, people go, oh my God, that's horrifying, women are missing. But I think, you know, I know that there is much more to that. There is each woman's and each community's story. And so I wanted to just tell one story, you know, a fiction story, just to kind of, I'm hoping the readers, then that'll bring it a little bit home to them when they read about some things in Indian country, rather than being just like shocked and saying, oh, this is really, really hard. So many kids are in foster system and so many Native women are missing. But that to understand that, like everybody else, there's a story here.
Yeah, you know, as we read in the beginning of the book about Loretta, the woman that eventually goes missing and gives her children up, I mean, it's not an easy choice for her, but she realizes they're not in good circumstances, and she thinks this is the best for them.
Well, I don't know if she thinks it's the best. She has no choice. I mean, she's got a county government going to remove her children, so I think she decides to not make it a horrifying scene for the kids. And so in that way, I think she's, you know, she's making a definite decision about what will be the best thing.
And one of the things that you lift up is that there's, even within the Native community, there's a difference between those that have land and those that do not.
Yeah, I wanted to put that in here. I wanted to, and I've done this in my earlier fiction stuff too, and nonfiction, about land allotment assignments from more than 100 years ago or longer than that, and how these were assigned to different families and family groups, and how some people, and it depends on who was signing treaties at the time, who their families were assigned land when the reservation lands were broken up from being owned in common to individual allotments. I wanted to bring that in because the story of this family, like many families, is tied into that land. It's I think the link between Native people and the actual, you know, ground we walk on is so profound. It is not just like we own this allotment, but the allotment then and the assigning of land and that place and that sense of place has become part of what so many people are. And in my work, the people who were not assigned land allotments, whether it was by their choice or not, sometimes really suffered and sometimes really missed out on something more than the possession of the land. Certainly, it's kind of like your identity as a Native person.
It's Linda Lagarde Grover. Her new book is out. It's a novel published by University of Minnesota Press, In the Night of Memory. And you can see her, meet her today at the Brainerd Public Library, their Brown Bag Lunch Series. It's at noon. Linda, thanks so much. We wish you the best.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
You're welcome. This is the Monday Morning Show.